This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. The judge in former President Trump's election interference case in Georgia has ruled District Attorney Fani Willis can remain on the case, but he blasted her for what he called a tremendous lapse in judgment for a romantic relationship with one of her top prosecutors. CBS's Nicole Killian reports.
The ruling comes after McAfee struck down six charges this week in the election interference case, including three involving the former president. Scott Grubman represented Kenneth Chesbrough, who worked to overturn Georgia's election results, and pleaded guilty last year.
It means the case goes from almost impossible going to trial before November to actually impossible to go to trial before November.
The special prosecutor is now withdrawn from the case. Cleaning up in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas, after a tornado struck a retirement community this week, KGHV's Brooke Buckner spoke to officials.
Spent all night cutting trees and clearing roads for our first responders to be able to get out to our members. That was our first priority as we were getting 911 calls to be able to go check on our members and make sure they're okay.
Hot Springs Village General Manager Kelly Hale says thankfully there are no major injuries, but they're still checking on each of the members in the area.
Our average age here in the village is 67 years old, so you know we have an opportunity to really take care of our people here. But it's a family and it's a community that everybody looks over one another.
And even surrounding cities and counties jumped in to help.
It's been a team effort.
This community works together pretty good.
All cargo has been offloaded from that first aid ship to reach Gaza, including food from World Central Kitchen. And that's just part of the effort. The BBC's Anna Foster has the latest.
Boats coming in now via the sea. We've seen airdrops as well of aid. But that really is tiny. The fastest and most efficient and tried and tested way is to bring aid into Gaza via land.
In Haiti, international aid agencies say starvation has only increased since gangs have taken over the capital, Port-au-Prince. The BBC's Will Grant is there.
Some aid is now making it into the country, yet it's nowhere near sufficient to cope with the scale of this emergency. In the political realm, the transitional council has been agreed. However, the gangs that control the capital, Port-au-Prince, don't recognize the council and have threatened its members in very, very stark language. So Haiti remains stuck in a complex and dangerous situation, and the civilian population caught between the politicians and the gang.
No word yet if anyone has claimed the Mega Millions jackpot.
Our first winning number tonight is 50. That's followed by 13. Up next, we have 66.
If no winner, the jackpot would rise to an estimated $815 million. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report says Black LGBTQ+ youth are seeing more equality, but it doesn't always mean greater opportunity. Edwin J. Vieira explains.
The Human Rights Campaign reports around 82% of kids were out to someone in their immediate family. This shows a growing comfort level they have in being who they are, but the findings also indicate this doesn't always translate into acceptance and leads to concern. Ryan J. Watson, a University of Connecticut professor and researcher for the report, says a key takeaway is how Black LGBTQ plus youth face exclusion on several fronts.
Maybe their Black African-American relatives, friends, are in particularly unsupportive of them being a sexual gender minority, and so they kind of have stigma from that side. And then also the kids in this report are reporting they feel excluded by white LGBTQ youth and populations.
The report suggests parents can educate themselves about sexuality and gender identity, as well as use the name and pronouns their kids use to define themselves. The report also finds mental health is a big concern for this population. Around 59% of Black LGBTQ plus youth screened positive for depression, while close to 40% of those surveyed were diagnosed with anxiety. Watson finds these figures alarming.
We could leverage health professionals, teachers, parents, but if I were developing an intervention right now to help a particular group of youth, this to me seems like a population in dire need.
Nearly half of all Black transgender or gender expansive youth have unmet mental health needs. Surveys find accessing mental health care is a challenge for many Black or minority residents. Along with this, many are concerned about how their gender identity will affect their futures. More than 80% say they want to attend college, but almost one-third worry how being LGBTQ+ could harm their future higher education opportunities. This is Edwin J. Vieira. Support for this reporting is provided by Lumina Foundation.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll be joined by City of Milwaukee political veteran Alderman Bob Bauman as we discuss why the incumbent city attorney is unfit for office.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. It'll be breezy out of the west, up to 30 miles per hour at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, 28. More clouds for Sunday. We'll see a high near 37. Monday, partly sunny. Again, highs around 37.
Right now, it's 37.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Aaron Zomers, our outstanding producer and engineer on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is Friday, March 15th, 2024, TGIF, the Ides of March, beware. Now 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour two of the big program. Always a pleasure to have our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger, on the show every other Friday to talk sports, life, and anything else. Great guy. I mean, if you ever wanted to share a beverage at an Irish pub, if you could pick one person, you can't go wrong with Brady Ewing.
Certainly, certainly. And, you know, I'm interested to know what kind of tests he might have done to see, like, recommended diet and stuff just for your body to run efficiently. I might have to ask him about that.
Maybe we should do, I mean, I'm not joking around, we could do a segment on health. Because Brady Ewing is a multifaceted guy, you understand. This is one of the many reasons that I think he's fantastic. I love him. Is because he's a trainer. I mean, he's a fit athlete, a former high school collegiate and professional athlete. But he continues to focus on fitness and health. Just also is a tremendously smart person, tremendously compassionate person. And he was a great hunter, likes the outdoors as well. I mean, there's just, you could talk about anything with him. So yeah, but we should do, and it turns out cooking as well. I kind of knew that. His whole family they're great cooks because our parents live a house apart. And in the summer, the waft of the Ewing's cooking outside. Oh my gosh. I mean, Andrea and Dave, oh, the smells in the neighborhood are fantastic. Anyway, we'll do a little cooking with Brady down the line. Coming up this hour, the question I want to start off with is a seemingly a simple one, but we're going to get into this. What do you define? How do you define? That's a better way to put it. How do you define a family? What's your definition of a family? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. What do you consider a family to be? It seems to be a fairly simple question, I think, for most people. But politicians and religious leaders continue to muck it up. And there's a story that's not getting a lot of play again in mainstream media, but I think it's important that we raise this up, and I'm going to tie it into many things happening here in Wisconsin. The article comes from the Idaho Capital Sun. Idaho Capitol Sun. Yes, in the state of Idaho. Headline, Idaho House Republicans call for Traditional Family Values Month celebration. Democrats who oppose the resolution said the state should instead honor all strong families. The word that where it gets mucked up are House Republicans in Idaho calling for traditional family values. I think the word traditional is kind of what does it for me. Here's the story in the Idaho Capitol Sun. The Idaho House of Representatives voted along party lines yesterday to pass a non-binding resolution that supports the designation of a new Traditional Family Values Month in Idaho. Let me step away from the story. And at first, you think, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, fine, let's have a resolution honoring family values. Nothing wrong with that. But we read on. One of the representatives here, Joe Afelli, sponsored House Concurrent Resolution 35, which would designate the period from Mother's Day through Father's Day in the state of Idaho as Traditional Family Values Month. Each week of the month would feature celebrations of different units, of which the representative described as traditional family, including sons, brothers, uncles, sisters, daughters, aunts. Quote, the natural female mother and male father, unquote. Now, in Idaho, resolutions do not carry the force of law. So this is not a law. I want to be clear about that. But nonetheless, it is state leaders passing a resolution. Under the Idaho legislature's Joint Rule 2, resolutions, quote, denote the adoption of a motion, the subject matter of which would not properly constitute a statute, unquote. So basically, this is not a law. Some Democrats who opposed the resolution said the language included in it was offensive to non-traditional families. Democrats also questioned some of the statistics cited in the resolution, including a passage that claims, quote, compared to peers in two biological parent families, children who lived with a single parent with no cohabitating partner were 5 times more likely to be sexually abused. Children who lived in a step family with a married biological and non-biological parent were 8 to 9 times more likely to be sexually abused. And children who lived with a single parent with a partner in the home were 20 times more likely to be sexually abused, unquote. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second and say that my parents, for their own reasons, thought it was better to separate and get divorced when I was around 11 years old. And I think my sister and I would agree, not to speak for her, but I think looking back, it was probably the best thing for both sides. And we've remained friendly with both of our parents. Both of our parents stayed in our lives. But to say that my sister and I last checked, we're not murderers. We weren't sexually abused in the home. It's just this narrative that unless you are a family of a mother and a father, biological mother and father, that you're going to turn into a murderer or be sexually abused or a robber or commit crimes, it is just absolutely bonkers to me. And the fact that this is being passed by a state legislature in Idaho, and this is the kind of stuff that the nationalists, the Christian nationalists, wrap it up in religion and then peddle this stuff statewide. And this is not new, by the way. This is not new. Let me give you a little story time with Toddy. Take you back to Richland Center. Grew up in the United Methodist Church there. Peace United Methodist Church. And look, many fine people had a lot of great experiences there. One of the not-so-great pastors, and he needs to be named, Marty Nolet. Marty Nolet. Here's a guy who was ordained United Methodist minister and who led a confirmation class, of which my sister, who is 4 years younger than me, was in. And here's a pastor who had a discussion on families in church. And he asked the kids, well, what's a family? And the answers varied from the people we live with, the people that we love, the people we care about, the people that take care of us. And he said, no, this is a minister telling teenagers. He said, a family is when you have a mom and a dad and kids and a dog. That's what a family is. And we wonder why young people are being driven away from organized religion. I mean, how would you feel if the leader of your church looked at you and said, yeah, having a single mom at home, that's not a family. I mean, it's appalling. And this is the kind of stuff that the current MAGA Republican Party is wrapping themselves up in.
I know. I went to a few different youth groups and stuff when I was younger. And I know if I went to one and a pastor said that, I would not attend again.
You think? Yeah, right.
And I would encourage anybody else I know in there to do the same.
And so let me read you. I printed this off. This is, I have it in my hot little hands, as they say, 2.5 pages. This is the actual Idaho resolution that was passed yesterday in the state of Idaho. Here's how it begins. Whereas traditional family value, pardon me, try again. Whereas traditional families designed by God have been the foundation of society since creation. That's the first line in a legislative resolution.
If I went to a state and they had that in their resolution, I can tell you I would not attend again.
And look, I want to be clear. I'm still a person of faith. It's personal to me. And I think that our Lutheran and Methodist and Wesleyan and Catholic and churches and our Jewish synagogues and our Muslim temples, they're all important. I have no problem with that. But I go back to the fact that as a legislature, as a government, there is no national religion here, all right? And when we start basing resolutions and laws on particular books of religion, that's where I have a lot of problems. And then to put in down in line 28, the whereas, attacking families that have single parents. And here's the whereas. Here's the actual resolution. Here it is. Quote, whereas traditional families consisting of a natural mother and natural father, children, grandparents, and extended family have declined drastically since 1960, when approximately 77.5% of children lived with the two parents and were married, and it goes on. I mean, this is Marty Nolet from the 1990s. Telling kids that unless you have a biological mom and dad in the household with kids and a dog, you're not really a family. In my experience, your family are the people who love you most and those who you love the most. I have friends who are my family, in addition to people who are biologically my family. I have extended people in my life who I am related to by blood, but we're not close. And that's fine. There are a lot of different definitions of family, but at the end of the day, in my experience, it comes down to who is closest in your life, who loves you, who would give up something for themselves for you, and vice versa. And to attack people of single parent households, to go after kids and tell them that it's anything else, I think that is criminally wrong. We'll invite your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Back after this is the Todd Oddball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas. Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Town Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Celebrating a little St. Patrick's Day, a little early, on the Ides of March the 15th. St. Patrick's Day coming up on the 17th on Sunday. The One More from the High Kings there. A great group. My favorite Irish album, the High Kings. A little salty I didn't see him when they were at Riverside in Milwaukee.
Very unfortunate. You'll have to keep an eye out.
Yes, I will. Talking about things a bit more serious in this segment here, this article I found yesterday, the Idaho Capital Sun. State legislature in Idaho passing a resolution controlled by Republicans, surprise, surprise, the MAGA Republican Party, saying that the only families that they want to recognize and celebrate are what they call traditional families of a biological mother and father, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, and pets. Actually, I don't think it says pets. That was from the pastor at the old United Methodist Church Original Center. Marty Nolet is his name. And by the way, this guy turned out, here's the deal on Marty Nolet. Not only was he telling kids that unless you had a biological parent, two parents in the home, and siblings and a dog, that you weren't a family. The guy was also having an affair with the woman across the street who was married, and so then they got divorced. You understand that? Because it doesn't work real well when your pastor is having an affair. And so what happened was that is his lovely wife, Patty Nolet, she divorced him, of course, and then went and got ordained and came back and sang in the choir, and she got minister. And what would happen is, and this was fantastic, if you want to know how to raise attendance in the churches, she sang in the choir, and then the new minister, every about once a month, it would be like, we would call it story time with Patty. And she would come down to the pulpit and she would, because she said, I think the church needs to know what went on. She would give us stories of what was happening during this whole time that we never knew. And people would flock to the church, not so much to hear the choir, not so much to hear the new pastor, but to get the gossip and the dirt at the United Methodist Church.
People love drama.
They do.
And you know what?
Absolutely right. They do.
You can make some good parables from that too. You can say, right? Like, here's what was happening.
Yeah.
And this is why we need to spend more time in the word or what, like, you know, and also that guy is just like the Republican Party.
Exactly.
Every accusation is a confession.
Exactly.
Every time.
Exactly. That's that was the icing on the cake. You understand that he was telling the kids that this is a traditional family. And then he was breaking up other families and cheating on his own wife.
What a dirtbag.
And he was. But, you know, and then he left, and instead of, like, being defrocked, they promoted him to, like, a church, like a Turtle Lake or someplace like that.
Does he still preach there? Asking for a friend.
I don't know.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was Marty Nolet, you understand. So, anyway, good times had by all. not
except
so much.
For right. Everybody.
Yeah, except for everybody. But the, and look, I mean, you got to laugh a little bit, right, about the whole thing, how weird it is and bizarre. But it goes back to this narrative. Trigvy and I talked about this on Wednesdays, that the current MAGA Republicans, they want to uphold this perfection that just doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist because we're humans. And what you get yourself into are instances where you become a hypocrite. And Lord knows I have a lot of faults and I fess up to them. I don't put myself out there to be a perfect anything, by the way.
Me either.
Exactly. But I think as we have these discussions in 2024 of politics, be very leery of politicians who profess perfection or try to put these narratives of perfection out there. When really all they're doing is dividing people, in my opinion. I mean, it's just absolutely division. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Perdisac. Mark, happy St. Patrick's Day. What say you?
Happy St. Patrick's Day. What I wonder is, I'm trying to look it up, but my computer's having a little trouble looking it up, but I was going to look up to see, I believe it does, Idaho's Constitution, as do most of the states, replicate the United States Constitution prohibition on religious tests. Mm-hmm. And incorporating religion into a resolution like this is just seems anathema to me, because there's, you know, in Idaho there's plenty of Native Americans there who practice their native religion.
Exactly.
I mean, they have their native family structures where their family structure there is, you know, related to, and you know, because I don't claim to know it all, but I know that it's much broader than just, you know, mom, dad, and all the kids. You know, it's. You know, the clan, you know, your clan elders and your uncles and aunts and the whole collection, you know, people that have been adopted into your family unit, and that in a lot of cases adoptive families are kinder and more nourishing than biological families. And for these people, this is just utter nonsense, because mm-hmm. we all know people that they tout God all the time, and they're the ones that are you know, cheating on their spouses and or beating their children, or
Well, Mark, you bring up a great point. You bring up a great point, and I hadn't gotten to that or thought about it, but you're 100% right that Republicans oftentimes, MAGA Republicans, they use this excuse, I'll call it, for being 100% pro-life and saying, well, if you don't want the child, someone else will. And they try to push adoption. And look, I'm all for adoption. And I think that's for women who choose to do that and say, I want to give up the child. That's great. As long as they choose that, that's fine. But Republicans try to use this as a reason to outlaw abortion, right? And what you just said, this resolution from the Idaho Republicans says, I can't find anything in here about celebrating adoption. All they want to focus on is the natural biological birth parents.
Yeah, it just the forced religion thing, it just seems anathema to me, because the founders were definitely against any kind of force of religion, because they saw, I mean, in the century before, you know, the founding of our country, there was the 30 years war in Europe over between Protestants and Catholics who were happily slaughtering one another over, you know, minuscule details in how to worship God. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you, Mark. I celebrate people like myself, people of faith. I think that's fantastic. If it's a personal thing, or Native American faith, whatever your faith is, it's personal and it should be celebrated and it should be protected. But for those who choose not to have a particular faith, but again, we are a country that's based in a constitution and a set of laws, not in a theocracy or a certain set of religious laws. Correct, Mark?
And I just looked at that in my little look up on the religious in the Idaho legislature. Mm. I mean, Idaho Constitution, religious tests and teaching in school is prohibited.
There you go.
So
nicely done, Mark. Thank you so much. We appreciate you as always. Yep. Have a green beer for me and have a great weekend, Mark. All right, Mark from Perdisac, always great to hear from him. Coming up next half hour here, we're going to hear from our friend Stuart Stevens at the Lincoln Project on authoritarianism. Also, Sean Fain, president of UAW, has some great words from the stump. And we're going to take a look at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story. This is fantastic, about a Milwaukee bar who is sick and tired of the tomfoolery. We'll explain the next half hour. Stay with us. It's the All Balls Show for a Friday along with Zommers at Civic Media. Stay tuned. Your news is next.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis is staying on the Georgia election interference case against former President Trump. Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade is not. CBS's Nicole Killian reports.
It was kind of a split decision in the sense that the judge said that in order for the district attorney to stay on the case, that Nathan Wade, the special prosecutor, must sever ties.
The upheaval follows what has been termed an inappropriate personal relationship between the DA and the prosecutor. That's rain and hail hitting Sugarland, Texas, more expected along the Gulf Coast this weekend. And Israel has reportedly approved a potential ground assault on the Gaza city of Rafah. UN spokesman Stephane Dujarric says this could be catastrophic.
We continue to hope that the parties will find a way to a ceasefire to ensure the greater humanitarian access.
The first maritime shipment of aid has arrived. CBS News Brief, I'm Lindy Kenyon.
Welcome their new defensive player. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers brought in Xavier McKinney to Green Bay to sign his contract with the team at $68 million over 4 years. The former Giants safety will be the fourth highest paid player in his position. McKinney and the Packers' new running back, Josh Jacobs, both played together at Alabama. Did he ever think they'd be teammates again?
Nah, never. I'm glad that we're back on the same team, though. I can tell you that because he's a special back, somebody that really good friends with. You know, he's a great teammate. He's a guy that plays really hard, makes a lot of plays. So it's going to be fun to just be back on the field with him and practicing against him.
Men's college basketball. Marquette beat Providence last night 79-68. They will play UConn tonight in the Big East. The Badgers set to face Purdue in the Big Ten tournament today. They got past Northwestern thanks to some sharp shooting. Stephen Crowell.
So AJ's pulling deep threes, Max. John's been unbelievable. So just getting that lid off the rim early.
That's the Badgers' Stephen Crowell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. It'll be breezy out of the west, up to 30 miles per hour at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, 28. More clouds for Sunday. We'll see a high near 37. Monday, partly sunny. Again, highs around 37.
Right now, it's 37.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former true. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why... I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Step, we daily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe, arm and row, all for Mary's wedding. Step, we daily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe, arm and row, all for Mary's wedding.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Wall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 now, past hour, 1 o'clock. A little bit more music than usual, which I think is appropriate. Little High Kings. That is a group called the High Kings. A great, great Irish band who tours all over the world. They were at the Riverside in Milwaukee recently, and hopefully they'll come back to the Midwest soon. But yeah, download their music, buy their albums, whichever. The High Kings. Really, really, it's a great music. More from them a little bit later this hour. 35, as we said, past the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, March 12th. The Tunnel Ball Show. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Last half hour here, a potpourri, or as we say back in Richland Center, potpourri. It's a potpourri, I think is how you say it. Yes.
Yeah, potpourri.
Yeah, potpourri. Like we call it a potpourri. Anyway, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Open line Friday here for the rest of the week. As it turns out. Because there's a lot I want to get to. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any of it, but I just want to, these are little nuggets I found that we didn't get to the rest of the week that I think are kind of important to give you something to chew on, you understand, over the weekend as you're having a St. Patrick's Day beer. Things you might want to discuss over a green beer this weekend. Kind of picking up on the last topic here from the Associated Press. Headline, Trump-backed Senate candidate faces GOP worries that he could be linked to an adult website profile. Now, this is both tragic and entertaining all at the same time to me. This came out yesterday. So what you have here coming up on Tuesday is another primary, this time in Ohio out there. They call it the Midwest, but I'm not sure if Ohio is really the Midwest, but they call it the Midwest.
Ohio doesn't belong anywhere.
Oh, come on now. I've been to Columbus is a beautiful town. Dayton is a beautiful town.
I'm sure it is. I've never been to Ohio. Yeah. I just wanted to say that.
I know you did. So here's the deal. Republicans, of course, trying to get the U.S. Senate majority back this year in the elections. And they're looking at Ohio as a prime opportunity to pick up a critical seat. But ahead of Tuesday's primary, there is mounting anxiety inside the Republican Party that Bernie Moreno may emerge with the nomination after vaulting to the top tier contenders with a coveted endorsement from Donald J. Trump. Moreno, who has shifted from a public supporter of LGBTQ rights to a hardline opponent, is now confronting questions about the existence of a 2008 profile seeking, quote, men for one-on-one sex, unquote, on a casual sexual encounter website called Adult Friend Finder. Forgive me for a minute while I take a note. No, I'm just kidding. Adult Friend Finder is the name of this. I had not heard of this until this article. So let me boil down. So it says, by the way, it says, here's what it reads on this photo-less profile. Quote, hi, looking for young guys to have fun while traveling, unquote, reads the caption on a photo-less profile under his username, Nardo1967-2, according to Associated Press reviews made public through a massive and well-publicized data breach of the website. Records also show the profile was last accessed about 6 hours after it was created. So here's what's happened now. Here's a guy, this Rick Moreno, or pardon me, Bernie Moreno, who is the leading Republican contender for U.S. Senate in Ohio. And he went from being a supporter of LGBTQ rights on the record to, after he decided to run for Senate, becoming anti. So number one, you've already flip-flopped and you're a hypocrite of what you said and what you say now. Number one. And it is doubly disappointing to me because he happens to have a gay son who his son apparently is out. And so, I mean, that's just also sad when your dad is not even supporting who you are. That's pretty sad.
Throws you under the bus for political gain.
Yeah, exactly. But now even worse is the fact that this guy apparently, allegedly, created his own, you know, website or own profile pic in a social media platform to find and pick up other guys. And the fact that and they're blaming it on an intern, you know, they're blaming it on an intern, and this intern has come forward and said, oh, I did it as a prank.
Sure.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Really? So you
are you that stupid?
Right. So you're a staffer to a politician and you create a profile on a same-sex dating app with your boss's name on it. And by the way, it was done with his work email, the politician's work email. So it was set up when he was in the state legislature through his work email, this Moreno guy. But they're blaming it, of course, on the intern.
Well, whichever one of them really did it, they're very stupid.
Yeah, and it's here's the deal. And I've shared this before on the show. I happen to be gay. I ran for a Republican state assembly seat in 2004. I was not out at the time. I was out to some people, but not publicly. But I never ran on a platform of being anti-LGBTQ. I never lied about who I was. I was just never asked. But I never lied about it. And so if you don't want to always disclose everything about your personal life, you know, that's fine to me. But you can't lie about it, right? The second time when I ran in 2008, I had come out at that time to the people closest to me, my friends and family. And again, I did not run as an anti-LGBTQ person. I remained true to who I actually was. And I'm fine with people having a private life. I mean, everybody should have a private life, so to speak, right? I don't think just because you're a politician, your dating life should be open game to everyone. But when you're hypocritical about who you are, when you're hiding who you are, and even worse, when you go after people like you who's still in the closet, that's just the hypocrisy, right? Just like in our last story.
Yep.
You have a minister who's going after, you know, saying if you don't have a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, and a dog, you're not a traditional family. And then he's a married guy with a family having an affair with a married person across the street, breaking up families. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that just drives me crazy, is the hypocrisy of it. Be who you are.
How do you go to sleep at night? Like, I wonder, is it self-denial? Like, are they saying, I'm not supposed to be gay?
Right.
Or are they really just, they just have no morals?
Right. Well, I don't know. I can't answer that.
I don't know. I don't see other options besides those two.
Here in this Associated Press story says, Moreno's potential vulnerability has sparked frustration among senior Republican operatives and elected officials in Washington and Ohio, according to 7 people who are directly familiar with conversations about how to address the matter. The people requested anonymity, of course, to avoid running afoul of Trump and his allies. They described concerns about Moreno's candidacy as so acute that some party officials sought a review of data to determine his potential involvement. The review, according to a person with direct knowledge, linked the profile to Moreno's work email address. The AP reviewed all the same information and came to the same conclusion that this was set up on Moreno's work account. And it was his name and his birthday. I mean, it's all the evidence is there. A prominent cybersecurity researcher says, quote, this is a telling example of how this data just doesn't go away, unquote. So we'll see. We'll see what happens out there in Ohio on Tuesday. But I think I mean, if I'm just looking at this purely from political standpoint, if Bernie Moreno is the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate in Ohio, I think the incumbent Democrat out there is looking good. Because, again, people don't like the hypocrisy. That's what they don't like. Let's move on to, by the way, Open Line Friday, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I want to go to a cut of Stuart Stevens, our friend Stuart Stevens from the Lincoln Project. He wrote a great book called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. He falls on his own sword, does a mea culpa in the book, says, look, part of what we have today, I'm responsible for as a former Republican operative. He has left the party. He is part of the Lincoln Project fighting Trump and Trumpism. He was on MSNBC this week, and he talked about what a Trump second term could look like in terms of authoritarianism, how to spot it. Let's listen to it, have some discussion on the other side. This is Stuart Stevens on MSNBC talking about authoritarianism.
The foundation of democracy is somebody has to be willing to lose. You have to have faith in the system. And like what I'm saying, the essence of these autocracies is they destroy faith in the system. And what Republicans have done, you can't just say Trump because it is now Republicans. They've attacked institution after institution in America. They attack the Justice Department. They attack law enforcement. They attack elections. And the purpose of this is just kind of to throw up your hands and go, well, we need a strong man. He'll just take care of everything because democracy isn't working. This is what the Russians have said since the 1920s, the Soviet Union. A democracy doesn't really exist in America. And it's a complete, why are they embracing Viktor Orban? It's a complete roadmap to an autocracy.
There you go. Stuart Stevens. I mean, the guy just nails it. That's how good he is. He just nails it. And he's absolutely right. And I've said this before this program. Part of what MAGA Trumpism, MAGA Republicanism is to gin us all up. To say, well, everybody's doing everything. And you know, whether they're attacking cops on January 6th in the U.S. Capitol or, you know, anybody else, it's to say that nothing works. Nothing works. The only thing that's going to work is Trump. We have to have a strong person, Trump, in the White House. And we've heard this before. We've heard cuts from people at Trump rallies saying they don't care if he's a dictator as long as it's him.
And I think Stuart Stevens mentioning Russia is also not an accident. I mean, he's talking about just Russia generally for the last 100 years almost.
Right.
But they have a lot of specific involvement with Trump. Like, it's not just what Russians say, it's what they're doing. And yes, we can't forget that either. Like, it's not even just Trump anymore. This is very real.
It's very, and he's absolutely right. And it is, we've heard it from Don Jr. this week. We heard it from Trump himself last week. There is no more traditional Republican Party. The Trumps have declared there is only MAGA and MAGA Republicans. The MAGAs don't want anybody else. They're rejecting Nikki Haley Republicans. They're rejecting Mitt Romney Republicans. They're rejecting Paul Ryan Republicans. There's only MAGA. They have said that, not me, them. It is very dangerous. That's what a second Trump term would look like. Other cut I want to get to on this Potpourri Friday. Give us a call if you want to weigh in. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. This is Sean Fain, President of the United Auto Workers, nailing it on the head about who is really sloughing off when it comes to workers in America.
What people and many in this room will say, they'll say people just don't want to work, or working class people are lazy. But the truth is, working class people aren't lazy. They're fed up. They're fed up with being left behind and stripped of dignity as wealth inequality in this nation, this world spirals out of control. They're fed up that in America, three families have as much wealth as the bottom 50% of citizens in this nation. That is criminal. America is better than this. So I want to close with this. I agree there is an epidemic in this country of people who don't want to work. People who can't be bothered to get up every day and contribute to our society, but instead want to freeload off the labor of others. But those aren't blue-collar people. Those aren't working class people. It's a group of people who are never talked about for how little they actually work and produce and how little they contribute to humanity. The people I'm talking about are the Wall Street freeloaders, the masters of passive income. Those who profit off the labor of others have all the time in the world. While those who make this country run, the people who build the products and contribute to labor, have less and less time for themselves, for their families, and for their lives.
There you go. Sean Fain, president of the UAW. Come back and discuss it. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Of all the money that e'er I had, I spent it in good company, and all the harm I've ever done, alas, it was to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass, good night and joy be to you all. So
welcome back to the Telleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little more from the High Kings on this 15th of March, right before St. Patrick's Day. Nicely done, Mr. Zomers. Appreciate that. We will leave you with some High Kings and the Parting Glass. Great song. One of my favorite songs by former boss, Dale Schultz, who I think has a little Irish in his family as well. But The Parting Glass, a great, great tune. Open line Friday here, a potpourri of information for you, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Tom, listening in on Madison's WMDX. Tom, what say you?
Well, a happy St. Patrick's Day to begin with, for sure.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a folk singer, and I've been going around to different places playing pretty much all week. And one of the things that really needs to be said, I think, when it comes to, the wealthy, I think it was in Davos, there was a Norwegian or a Dutch economist who said, you know what? It's nice that these multi-billionaires give hundreds of millions of dollars to charity, but if they just paid their fair share of tax, they'd be paying three times that.
Right.
And they wouldn't be able to deduct it. Right. I mean, my uncle had a business, and I remember growing up, he had a little mechanic shop, and he would always say, boy, if I don't spend it on my own business, I'm just going to give it to Uncle Sam. So he spent a lot of money just so he wouldn't give it to the government. And I think we need to bring back those tax rates first thing.
Yeah, I agree, Tom. Great, great insight on that last clip we played right before the commercial break there of Sean Fain, president of the United Auto Workers. I mean, he nailed it, right, Tom? That it's not, we hear about, well, people don't want to work anymore. Well, yeah, it's the billionaires. It's the guys and the gals on Wall Street who are making all the money who don't want to pay the taxes. And I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's messaging. I remember at one of the Scott Walker rallies a long time ago. I was talking to a carpenter, and he said, well, you know, the unions have never done anything for me. And I said, well, have you ever had a weekend or overtime or a vacation? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, and he's paused a moment, and he said, you know, I've never thought of that. I was like, wow. Okay, here we go. Like, yeah. Messaging.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Tom. This election year, we should all be talking more about working people and what it means to have a fair tax system so that the tax burden isn't on the working people of this state and this country, but rather on the billionaires of this country. That's where the people that who aren't even paying their fair share, let alone increase the taxes, just make them pay what they should be paying, right?
Well, the response is always, well, if you look it up, rich people pay most of the taxes in a conglomerate. But when we're talking about wealth disparity like this, that's really not saying much.
No, it really isn't. Great call, Tom. Thanks. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day to you, wherever you're singing across the state. Thank you so much, Tom in Madison. We'll get some more of this next week. Maybe we'll try to reach out to these folks to have them on the show. This is my favorite story of the week from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee Bar, the mothership, says it will close during the Republican National Convention because it's opposing the tomfoolery. A Milwaukee bar is planning to close its doors for the Republican National Convention, opposing its quote-unquote tomfoolery. The Mothership, a Bayview neighborhood haunt known for its tiki drinks and prolific selling of Ham's beer on tap, posted on its Instagram and Facebook pages on Wednesday, that it would be closed during the week of the RNC from July 15th to the 18th. Quote, I'm not trying to get involved with or actively take money or rent the space out. That's tomfoolery, the post reads. The post said, however, the bar could be reserved for private events for, quote, free to dirt cheap prices, unquote. Owner Ricky Ramirez said he was considering closing for the DNC in 2020 had the event been held in person in Milwaukee. The DNC was ultimately held virtually due to COVID-19. Quote, the number one reason we are a bar and alcohol number one reason is we are a bar and alcohol and politics don't mix, Ramirez said in email. It's a rule in any bar, no matter what kind of bar it is. So it's as simple as it gets, unquote. How about that? I mean, just saying, look, we're not gonna mix beer and politics.
I think beer and politics can mix. If you mean if we're having a beer and talking about politics, right. Sure. If you are, you know, I don't know. It's a mess.
But I admire this person.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, the mothership. Just saying, we're not going there. If you want to have a bar mitzvah or a birthday party, we'll rent it to you for dirt cheap. But we're not having arguments here.
Yeah.
I admire that. I think that's great. Great show. Great week. My thanks to Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion from Richland Center. Always great to have him on the show. Thanks for all the calls. Thank you, Mr. Zommers, as well. We'll bring Board Game of the Week back next week, Mr. Zommers. But a happy St. Patrick's Day. Do not overindulge. And if you do, make sure you get an Uber or a taxi. Don't be out there on the roads unnecessarily if you've had too many. Make it safe. Make it fun. We'll see you on Monday. We're going to leave you with little High Kings and the Party Glass here on the Todd Allbull Show. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe, keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next. See you next week.
Parting glass and drink a health for every fall. Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Dell Small Business.
I'm Linda Kenyon.